You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Pour in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like a bit.
Good morning, good morning. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot on Charters.
Good morning.
Rolling into the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes,
morning,
we are.
Captain. We are actually going to head straight on over the phones because we've got Dave Westrow with Lear's Economy Tackle standing by on line one. So we're going to check in with Dave after a couple of weeks here, see what's new in his world. Hey, Dave, good morning.
It's the voice from the past. Speaking to you from beautiful downtown North Fort Myers, Florida.
Nice, nice. And how are things going in beautiful downtown North Fort Myers?
Actually, doing very well for the time of the year. Generally, we look for a little bit of a slump in traffic right after the first of the year until people start getting their credit card bills in and finding out what they owe or don't owe, and then they get ready to start spending again. But right, we've been busy right on from the beginning on through. No slow days, no nothing. And that's, I guess, you know, that's lets us know what's happened to our population down here. It's grown, so there are more people here, and still lots of new people coming in.
Yeah,
so
that's,
which is, you know, for us,
sure.
Is, you know, good for the overall tackle business. I think it's good for our area here too. So I mean, we're not a bit let down by the first of the year anyway.
Yeah, and Dave, I wanted to ask you. I know Alex and I were talking a little bit earlier. You know, obviously about boat safety, and given the much higher numbers of people that we've got out there on the water. You know, you've seen a lot given all the growth over the decades that your shop has been open. Any advice that you have in particular for folks that are new to the area who are getting out there and maybe don't have a whole lot of experience boating here in Southwest Florida?
You keep your eyes and ears open.
Yep.
Keep your head on a swivel right now with as many boats as there are.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, moving around, you just got to kind of look in every direction before you make a move, or at least a fast move. So, I mean, just, you know, and adhere to the rules. I mean, you know, stay in those idle zones. Don't come zooming out of them or into them. Be real careful about what you do. There was something else, and I saw it yesterday on the news. And it's something I think people really have to pay attention to. I don't think we think much of it, but it has to do with the hand sanitizers and things that people are using. I don't know whether you saw it. I've heard of this in several cases, and we've tried to be extremely careful with it here at the shop using hand sanitizers. And after you use the hand sanitizer, don't mess with anything that would ignite them.
Right.
There was a video on last night about a guy that the police tried to arrest. I can't even remember where he is. He doused himself with hand sanitizers and the alcohol coming off of it. And I guess the guys didn't pay much attention. The police didn't pay much attention to that, and they tased him. And it set him on fire, killed him. And,
oh my!
And some of the things we had heard before, and it's with us here, and we try to be extremely careful with it. Is we use alcohol burners here when we change tips and things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know, we try not to do that after we've been in contact with people out on the floor and maybe have used a hand hand sanitizers, but the alcohol fumes coming off of your hands, if you're around anything that could ignite that, you've got a real problem. So I think folks got to pay real attention to what you're doing. I would imagine even lighting a cigarette, if you were a smoker, you had a cigarette lighter and you just put hand sanitizer on or something of that nature, and go to light up a cigarette or something of that nature, you could be in for a real severe problem. Right. So
pandemic problems. Hashtag pandemic problems.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I mean
all these new things we have to deal with these days, right? Oh my goodness. Yeah, but it's true. And I'm sure too that there's a lot of folks who are getting out on the water and they're carrying their hand sanitizer with them when they're getting out on charters and going out on boats, and like sunscreen, you don't want to put that stuff on your hands and then stick your hands into a live well or your bait bucket.
Touch your screen on your garment
exactly.
Yeah.
Leave it in the car in the summer, and then I've seen people leave it on the dash, and it breaks open in the heat, runs down the dash, melts the dash.
Yes,
so some of that stuff's 70% alcohol.
Yes,
so it's gonna melt.
It's something that you just don't think about it. You take for granted that whatever you're doing is right, but there are some things that you really need to pay attention to, or else
absolutely, yeah, you're right,
a really bad problem.
Yeah. Dave, did you see, I think it was on Fox News, did you see the police officer that pulled over? There was a SUV collision, and the police officer pulled over or stopped at the scene of the accident, and there were two alligators that were hanging out of the SUV. Did you hear about this?
No.
There was a 6.5 foot long and 8 foot long alligator that were hanging outside of the window from a white SUV that was involved in a collision. And so they had to call Fish and Wildlife, of course, because how often do police officers happen upon an accident and there's two alligators hanging out of a window?
Holy
yeah. Yeah. It was on Fox News.
I didn't see that at all, but you would have think whoever would have been transporting them would have had them secure somehow.
Right.
I mean, maybe that was the cause
right,
of the accident.
Right, they came loose and, yeah.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a permit or tags, needless to say.
Back and they were in the back of Mom's Cadillac.
Yeah. There's something else that came up that was brought up to me yesterday, and I don't know the right or the wrong of it, but it has to do with the manatees and the lack of food for manatees. I'm understanding over in Indian River, over on the other coast over there, they lost so many of them, and the grasses are gone, and they're trying to feed them lettuce. But this fellow in the shop yesterday brought up to me, he said, why don't they transport a few of them into some of the freshwater canals that are overgrown with grasses and weeds and turn them loose in there and see if they can't clear up the growth problem in some of the freshwater canal systems, like some of the areas that are in the Cape that are choked up. They don't seem to mind going in there and spraying them down with herbicides to try to kill the stuff off. And in some areas, they bring in grass carp and put grass carp into ponds and creeks and things like that, canals and things like that, to try to bring down the weed growth in there. Why not try transporting a few of the manatees in some of the canal systems and see if they wouldn't do the job?
That's a good idea, but I think I read somewhere where they transported one somewhere that like was way up our coast, like out of Florida, and it's wound up swimming back after they transported it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I mean I have no clue about it, but do they migrate somewhere? Do they move? Do they have that instinct to get out of? If they were transported to move. But.
Yeah, and I'm definitely no manatee expert. I would have no idea about this, but I would imagine they need the water to be a certain salinity level.
Yeah, that could be too.
No, I don't think so.
No?
They find them
Yeah,
I mean, I know, right. I know that they were like, for example, I know this fall when I went up to Rodman Reservoir, there were manatees in Rodman, which is freshwater, but they're migrating to certain areas, obviously, in search of the right water temperature and food sources.
Correct. So, I mean, and I think that's right. I mean, some of the canal systems may get too cold, but they could possibly put some of them in there and. When the water temperatures are up and would be more normal, leave them in there for part of the, I won't say part of the summer, but part of the spring to see if they could graze some of this stuff down. But
that's a good thought. I'm
just trying to figure out another answer to the food problem, you know, with them. It's severe.
Yeah. Although I like all that vegetation in our canals. Because Florida, I mean, our bass love vegetation, so it's...
Oh, I don't want them to eat it all out.
You're going to put them on a ration?
No.
Put the manatees on
be able to watch them. I mean, it's different putting the grass carp in there and watching them try to eat everything else out of there, too. I mean, I think they go in there and net them out and move them to a different area. But besides that, let's get into some serious fishing.
Yeah, let's get into some fishing convo, some serious fishing conversation.
It's been great.
What are the offshore reports that you're hearing up in the shop, Dave?
Well, you know, when they closed Red Grouper and Lane Snapper, it was noticeable in the shop that our sales of the offshore product, particularly in our case, the frozen baits and some of the deep water jigs and things, it stopped on a dime. I mean, it was noticeable that our sales dropped off in that area really dramatically. When it opened back up, when the first of the year came around and Red Grouper opened up, and of course Lanes had been open about a week or two before then, noticeable people coming in and getting offshore frozen baits, the squids and the sardines and chum and things like that. So it was noticed. People were waiting to get back into that Red Grouper and snapper fishery. And but prior to that, the gag grouper fishery was good. Our reports were really good. The mangrove snapper reports were excellent. And something that came up the other day, a guy came in and showed me a picture. In fact, it was yesterday. Showed me a picture of a mangrove snapper that he had caught that was really nice and fat. And I'm going to say that fish looked like it was maybe 22, 23 inches. It was a good big mangrove snapper, and he caught it on a 1/25th of an ounce.
Jig?
No, that can't be right. Is that right?
1/25th
of an ounce.
Walk up.
About super light.
That's like a hook.
No. Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
25 gram.
Okay.
Vertical. Flat fall jig, which is extremely light for where he was. He was in 130 foot of water.
Wow.
And normally we sell those jigs for guys that are fishing in 50 foot of water. And he was in 130 foot of water, caught this mangrove. And I said to him, that thing can't fall that fast to be able to get down there to him. And he said, you'd be surprised. He said, I was using 10 pound braid. And he said, you'd be surprised how fast that falls. Of course, it's a little skinny little jig when it dropped down there. But it was a beautiful, beautiful fish. He also had caught a couple of smaller red grouper on it that were of legal size, but down at the lower limit. But I thought that was really something for this little jig that we recommend for completely different kind of fishing. And he's out in really deep water using it.
Makes sense.
He says, I'm going out, you know. So it's you don't have to be big and heavy like we think you need to be out in that deep water.
And I would think most of the time, you know, I do some jigging out there in that 130 to 200 here. And most of the time we need the heavier weighted ones just because of the current that could be out there. So he might have been playing that current too, to, you know what I'm saying? So it went down instead of being swept back.
And we were talking too earlier, Dave. Alex and I were talking a little bit about, you know, during the winter months when our water is generally clear, when we don't have, you know, all the wind from these fronts blowing through and turning
cleaner,
things
clearer
up.
Water.
But, you know, and then we have calm conditions, how, you know, using those lighter presentations. And Alex was saying, you know, that even applies when he's
offshore.
Fishing near shore or offshore.
Yep.
So I think, you know, sometimes it's just something the fish aren't accustomed to seeing.
Well, and I think a lot of times when it comes to bottom fishing in anywhere from 50 to 200 foot of water locally, people generally go sometimes too big on the gear.
Yeah.
And they limit what they could catch.
You know, we've also had some folks that did go out during that red grouper closure and were fishing for yellowtail and did very well there. But there were also there've been some reports both inside or near shore and offshore of some really nice cobia catches and some incidental wahoo catches and around the same time. The wahoo was further offshore, but there've been good cobia catches that have been reported, as well as some wahoo and some king mackerel. And looking at the newspaper at the water temperature, and you know, the Gulf temperature, and according to today's papers, about 71 degrees, and last week it was up as high as 74 degrees, just based on what the paper says that it is. I don't know how right that is or isn't, but our water temperature is warmer right now than what it normally should be, and the fish believe it. I mean, they're still active. Snook catches, redfish catches have been pretty good. Had some folks in yesterday, been catching shark and the Caloosahatchee. So.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm seeing sailfish. I saw a sailfish that had looked like it had been caught in some netting or something, but it was in less than 30 foot of water outside of Wiggins about maybe a month ago. But I've seen live, you know, better shape ones. I've seen them in that 40 to 60
audio on your end has started to fade a little bit, so I don't know whether it's my phone or my ears.
I was just saying the amount of sailfish that are being caught and seen, you know, in shallower waters, meaning 30 to 100 foot of water in our area, is being more and more frequent.
Yeah, and I think before the holidays, I mentioned about this guy that was fishing on his marker out there, and he had like a 3-foot sailfish was swimming around his marker, was just really, really amazing to see that thing. And it was these little, according to him, little black fish that were up underneath his marker, and he was amazed about the turning radius that sailfish could move in and swim that tight to the float to try to get after the little bait fish that were underneath there. So,
yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, so if you're offshore and you know that you got a little time to kill, drag some ballyhoo or
free line
some pinfish behind the boat. You just never know.
Yep, that's exciting stuff. Well, awesome.
Well, a lot of times when we do that, we hope there's something going to come along and get them.
That's right.
Definitely.
Good blackfin and blackfin tuna report, same thing, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this time of the year for what we're blessed for what we've got right now and hope that it doesn't change dramatically in the next week or two.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Well, they're playing our tune, Dave, so we will catch up with you next Saturday, but thanks so much for the update. We certainly appreciate it. You have a fantastic rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dave. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
That is Dave Wester with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo op.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot on Charters.
Top of the morning.
Top of the morning to you, Captain.
Number two.
Always good to have you back and good to have you here in the studio to kick off 2022.
I feel so
on Real Talk Radio. I'm the one
that
feels privileged.
Come on, it's getting deep now.
Hey, incidentally, I think we have an early candidate for Text of the Year so far.
Oh, we do.
It was from Captain Josh. He informed us because we asked. A group of squid is called a squad.
Squad. That
squad
makes so much sense.
Squid. A squad.
Thank you, Josh.
That's
squid.
Awesome. Yes.
I love it. A
thank
squad
you,
of squid.
Josh.
Nice. Now we know.
Now we know. And
like
we don't
it.
Have to Google it.
That makes
all
sense.
Right, we're going to head over to line one because we've got Captain Greg Stamper standing by. Let's grab his call. Hey, Captain Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Deb. Good morning, Captain Alex.
Good morning, sir.
I know you're getting thank ready you. To head out on the water if you're not on the water already. So go
we
ahead
are.
And give
we're
us the update.
The yeah,
how are things going out there?
Right now. Things are going good. We've got two trout in the box already, and we'll catch a few more and then probably move on to either pompano or possibly redfish, just depending on how things go. It's windy out here today. Water's kind of hot enough, so if you're trout fishing, make sure you're popping those corks a lot. Otherwise, they gotta hear it. They're not gonna
make a little noise
right now.
Right.
Yeah, make some noise.
Yep.
And we've let a couple of them go that were small, so. We'll get it done. We've only been fishing for about 30 minutes, so we've already got two good ones in the box. We'll get there.
You always get it done. You're the man.
Yep, he does. Okay. Nice. Well, good deal. So, and Greg, as far as redfish and snook, what else are you seeing out there?
Yeah, the redfish bite has been here and there. It hasn't been that awesome this week. We did find some fish yesterday and the day before, mm-hmm. but they weren't the bang.
We're losing you.
Yeah, you're breaking up on us a little bit.
Way, kind of helping you. And we did find a few.
Yeah, you're breaking up on us, Greg. So
this last week or so.
We're getting like every other word.
It's windy.
Yeah. Well, no worries. We'll let you get back
yeah,
to
I'm
fishing.
I'm using Jim's phone.
Right?
There you go. Yeah, all sounds right. like it.
You guys are on the same cell phone service plan,
yeah,
right?
That's funny.
All right. Well, we'll right, catch up with line. You next Saturday. Tight lines. Go
see
get them.
You got it.
Bye. That is Captain Greg Stamper with Snook Stamp Charters, and we're going to actually head over to line two and grab Captain Barry Kuda, who's standing by. Hey, Captain Barry. Happy New Year.
Well, good morning, you guys. Hey, Alex.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back after weeks of hopefully blissful vacation.
Yeah, it feels good to be back on air. What's going on in your world? What's new? Give us the report.
Oh, man, it's just been unreal. We've caught a lot of, yesterday, my clients caught 13 species of fish. We caught only 26 fish, and some of them were awesome. But the range of fish is really a lot of fun. My record for Cerro Bay is 16 species in one day, and yesterday we got 13. Last week we got 12. A lot of good fish. Just been having a real good time. It's just beautiful. Kind of steady, but a good bite. Better bring plenty of bait if you're using bait, because mm-hmm. I usually buy 100 shrimp, and there's been a couple times it almost wasn't enough. It's been good. Been having a lot of fun. Oh, can I do a real quick public service announcement? I'm still seeing pictures on Facebook of people hanging snook And I'm not sure how to get the word out because they don't mean anything by it, but they're killing these big snook. Those are our breeders that we depend on, and they don't know they're doing it. I used to do it years ago. You just don't know. But hanging that snook kills them, and I don't know how to get the word out better.
Fish handling is important, right? Hold those large snook, especially, horizontally all the time. You always want to hold them horizontally.
Don't even lift them out of the water unless you're holding
them.
Yeah,
and really, if you can avoid taking them out of the water, that's even better. You know, these days you can get some really nice shots, have someone lean over the side of the boat, holding that fish in the water. Those shots come out just
cool,
beautiful. Yeah, yeah, they're different from the standard grip and grins, and you're not putting as much stress on that fish. And, you're right. You know, the other thing that I see a lot when I'm looking at fishing photos is people putting their fingers in the fish's gills.
Yeah.
You know, the gills are, that's the way the fish breathes. And especially, you know, redfish are still catch and release in Estero Bay. And I still see a lot of people that are putting their hands in those fish's gills. So keep your fingers away from their gills and keep them wet. Keep them wet, only out of the water, as long as you can hold your own breath. So it's always good to recap that stuff.
Been working hard to encourage catch and release. And on my charters, I tell them, look, if you really, really want to take a fish home and it's legal, I'll clean a fish for you. But we really need to release them. We need to preserve the fishery. And I see these photos, legal catches, but you see a dock covered with mangrove snapper, and I go, holy cow, you just took a whole school out of the water. None of those are ever going to have babies.
Right.
And it's a legal catch. They're not breaking the law. But at the same time, just let's let them go. The fun is in catching them. If you want to eat them, every grocery store has them for less money than you spend catching them.
Anyhow, ramped over.
these awesome low tides are just phenomenal out there. I've seen more real estate than I've ever seen out on Estero Bay. It means all the fish are concentrated.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
It's a good time to get out there and survey the lay of the land, so to speak. Definitely.
I tell a lot of my clients, I know you probably do too, because they ask, well, how do you know to come here? How do you know to go there? Well, you know, we know what the bottom looks like if you took away the water. So we're basically fishing the bottom or the contour, or we know what it looks like, essentially, if you drain Estero Bay. At least that's what's in my mind as a captain when I go to a spot.
Yeah.
What's
mm-hmm.
it look like under that water?
Yep.
So these low tides is the time to learn that. That's how I learned.
Yeah, definitely. Take advantage of those negative tides. If you can get out there, you've got a shallow draft boat, and you can get in some of these areas and check them out. That's the best kind of homework you can do.
Yeah, and it's fun. A couple of the rules of boating that I tell my clients, I say, first of all, never try to go where the birds walk. And you'd be surprised how many people think they can go between the birds. Oh, my God. The other is the deepest water is never in the middle. You got to go around.
That's pretty true. That's pretty true. You're right.
Yeah, and the low tides illustrate it so beautifully. And what I do tell people that want to learn is don't just go out there. Take pictures. You can be looking at those pictures and remembering. There's the concept of the fish highway, where they travel, because we're fishing for moving targets. They rarely stay in one place for very long. And where they travel is where you're going to catch them. And look for those fish highways. Those are the deep spots between the shallow spots that aren't channels, but they're kind of a channel for the fish.
Yeah. So, Barry, getting back to your fishing report, you said you're catching lots of different species, really good numbers. What species are you seeing primarily? Trout? You're seeing a few redfish?
Very good trout this past week. I was catching more trout than otherwise, but lately I'm catching quite a few snook, a few redfish, big ones, really nice 28-inch slobs that just give you that fight. And, of course, the beauty of it is when you hear drag over and over again, and you wonder if you're ever going to get that fish to the boat. That's the big thrill. And I got on video a client saying yesterday, I've never had a fish that big on my line before. Going, yeah, that's what we're here for. That's what it's all about.
It's all about making those memories. That's awesome stuff. Those are the things people remember forever.
I couldn't get us our slam yesterday, even though trout have been pretty plentiful. Just a coincidence day, because they are around quite a bit. And ladyfish, jacks, pompano, no mackerel, but did catch a bluefish last week. Lizardfish and both kinds of puffers are part of the mix. And then there's the ever-present two kinds of catfish. I posted a picture the other day. I caught the same gaff topsail in the same location twice, two days running. The first day I took a picture down his throat of a blue crab claw sticking into the back of his mouth. I thought, well, that's unusual. So I took a picture. The next day my client caught the same catfish in the same spot. The claw was still there. And I thought, geez, I would have thought he would have finished swallowing it or digested it by now, but there it was.
Really? It was the same catfish?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
So fun days. Yesterday, my client brought a whole clamshell to the boat. The jig hooked it, and it was one that was wide open, quite dead, but the hook had caught it, and it actually came all the way to the boat and on board, and we took a picture of it. Unusual wildlife in a sterile bay. And we've had a blue crab come aboard, some little tiny ones coughed up by snapper. Brought a stone crab, about as big as the palm of my hand, that was hanging on to the hook and didn't want to let go. He came aboard. There's just been a lot of cool catches. It's been fun. And then the occasional cluster of oysters comes up.
Lots of activity out there. Very, very cool. Well, awesome, Barry. We actually have another caller. We've got Captain Bill Curtis standing by on line one. So I'm going to hop over. And
hi, Bill.
I'm going to hop over and grab his call, but it was great hearing from you. Thanks so much for calling in with an updated report, and Happy New Year to you and Kim. We'll catch up with you next Saturday morning.
See you, Cap.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye, Barry. Take care. All right. We're going to head over to line one. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, Captain Debbie. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Happy New Year. How are you?
Thank you. Same to you. Doing well. Busy as can be. Life is good.
Good morning, Captain Bill. Over where are you located? Let everybody
I'm
know.
I'm over at Getaway Marina these days.
Yeah, you moved from Fishtail to Getaway. And what are you running?
I did. I'm currently running a 40-foot Chris Craft offshore with dual cast. And I also am running my Mako Bay boat, 20-foot bay boat. So I'm doing inshore, offshore. Can pretty much offer just about anything we have in Southwest Florida.
You are killing it offshore on Facebook pictures I see.
Yeah, so fill us in, Captain Bill. What have you been catching out there, and how have your trips been going?
Yeah, fishing's been really good. It's been a little bit bumpy to start the year, but I'm still getting out 30 miles or so out in the 70-foot of water. There's pretty good numbers of red grouper, just not a lot. You know, we get one here, one there, so a lot of moving. I can tell you that the mangrove snapper have just been on fire. That's been a lot of fun. Getting some catch and release gags now, and also this time of year we're catching the porgies, which are actually about my favorite to eat.
Those are some tasty,
some nice
tasty
sharks
fish.
Too you've been putting up.
And that was the next thing I want to get to. It is just loaded offshore with those big sandbar sharks right now, and any of our big grouper baits are getting eaten by these sharks, and we're getting a little bit lucky with some of those big circle hooks or sticking them in the corner of the mouth, and we're getting them to the boat even with steel. So it's been very entertaining.
Wow.
Yeah. The kids love catching sharks.
Are you getting
right?
them on
so
the bottom
the families,
or like
that's exciting.
Reeling up or reeling down?
A little bit of both, Alex. I've caught a couple on some wrecks, just putting a floating a big dead bait on the wreck up in that water column.
Right.
And then the rest of them are hitting the grouper baits on the bottom.
Huh. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that's really, really cool, Bill. So, and as far as your inshore trip, so you run both inshore and offshore, so you can do either. You've got somebody that helps you and runs the boats for you.
No, I'm running all the trips. I'm staying as busy as can be.
staying diversified. I like it.
Well, and that, you know, keeps the quality control, you know.
That's right.
Means you charter me and you're going to get me. And that's big, you know, in our industry, you know what you're getting.
Yep.
And, inshore has been great as well. Had a lot of fun lately with there's been some pompano and mackerel in the back bay. Has made for just some hilarious family trips and bonnet head sharks. And we're going out and catching 100 fish in a four-hour trip and 10 different species.
Yeah, nice. That's great. That is fantastic. Yeah. So, Bill, we got to get ready to head off to another break. But how can people get in touch with you? How do they reach you if they want to book a trip?
Sure, I appreciate that, Captain. I have a great online presence, so if anybody searches Captain Bill Curtis, you'll get all kinds of websites and social media and Google places and all that good stuff. And if I can share my phone number as well, I can do that.
Sure.
Yeah, my phone number, the best way to reach me actually is by text, because a lot of times I'm on the water, but it's 239-229-6904.
Awesome. Well, Captain Bill, thank you so much for calling in. It was good hearing from you.
Yes, absolutely.
Happy New Year to you. You have a great rest of the weekend, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Really great to hear from both of you. Happy New Year.
You Take
too. Care.
See
Happy
you, Bill.
New Year, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Good to hear from Captain Bill Curtis. All right, we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Papa was a fishing man. Papa was a fishing man. Loved his cars and his steel guitars. Papa was a fishing man.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. We're going to jump around, jump up, and jump down.
I see we really got Alex moving in his
seat.
Yeah,
he was bopping in his seat for a minute. I saw
like,
it. I saw
like,
it.
Come
he's,
on.
He's into it. He's going, yeah, a little House of Pain.
Right.
Bring it.
This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot on Charters.
Yeah, man.
We're talking inshore. We're talking offshore.
Talking boating craziness.
We're talking boating safety. We've got, oh my goodness, a $50 gift card that we're going to be giving away during the 9 o'clock segment to Sportsman's Wholesale. So stay tuned. We're going to have a Name That Species trivia.
Sweet.
So I'm going to basically read off the description of a certain fish species. Could be fresh, could be salt. Mm. And then whoever calls in with the correct answer will win a $50 gift card.
We're going to make you work for it. I mean, we could just do what everybody else does and just say caller 9.
But, oh, no.
You know, no.
No, 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 no. No, no.
It's $50.
You've got to have some knowledge.
Sportsman's Wholesale, so.
Yes.
That buys a lot of stuff.
$50 does Bucks, buy a lot of stuff.
Leaders.
Yeah. That's a lot of Ned rigs. That's a lot of TRDs for me. A lot of Senkos.
There you go.
For sure. So let's see here, Alex. I had a bunch of questions for you, and one of them... Here it comes. Yeah, so we've got a couple of windy days coming up here.
Yes.
And obviously the water in the back is going to get a little bit churned up. So, you know, you hear captains say all the time, you got to find the clean water. You got to find the clean water. What are a few tips that you have for folks who are going to be going out after this, you know, windy couple of days to
yes,
try to
find look for
find
clean water, which represents a lot of times temperature.
Yep.
Along with clarity. And it doesn't have to be clean, like, you know, drinking water clean, but just cleaner or a different color.
Correct.
And that applies almost anytime. Offshore, inshore, windy, not windy.
It applies to freshwater.
Color change is always a good thing.
For
fresh
sure.
water, salt water.
Definitely. Yeah.
But like in our bay, when the wind blows out of the north, I fish north because the wind's blowing from the north. So all the dirtiness from the bay is going to go south.
Yep.
Out of the south, I fish north.
Which makes perfect sense.
It doesn't all, you know, the way our winds change this time of year, or like today they're blowing, I think, north, northeast.
Yeah.
By midday they're going to be more south, southwest, southeast. It just muddies it in almost all directions. So, you know, just finding water flow with a little bit color difference is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And like when you're fishing an outgoing tide, say, for example, like folks who are out there this morning right now fishing, what types of areas are you looking for? Are you looking for, I know I like honing in on like those little areas that we refer to as squeezes, kind of like two
anything
areas.
That accelerates the water flow.
Yep.
A pass, a squeeze,
a
between
cut.
Islands, two oyster bars.
Yep.
you know, stuff like that. So moving water.
Definitely. Good.
Fish are not afraid of shallow water. So if your boat can get into it, you know, the fish could be there. So
yeah.
Just look for life. And if there's not bait, there's not birds, there's not dolphin, there's not wakes in the water, it's probably nothing in there.
Yep.
So look around you other than fish and look just for what I call the aqua life. And if it's not there, you know, chances are the fish aren't there or they're just not eating or moving. So
yep.
Keep your eyes peeled.
And those tight, narrow little pinch points and squeezes, generally when the tide's moving, that current is going to bring all the bait, push it all through.
Right.
Those types of areas.
Summertime, so we get them real high tides after the rains, and then the tide changes, starts going out, and you get mm-hmm. all that debris, the leaves and the stuff that are washed out of the mangroves, that nasty tannic looking, that's a great waterline color change to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Fish are right in that.
That's a really
food source.
That's a
so
really
that,
good
know,
tip.
That's, yep. that's basically the opposite, going from clean water to dirty water, but that's where the fish are. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what about, so here's a question for you. What are a couple of things, like say for folks who are looking at booking a trip with you or any guide here in Southwest Florida over the course of the season, things that you wish your clients knew before they hopped on board with you?
Jeez, how long we have, an hour? Well, first of all, understand who you're
just
talking to. In other words, if your heart's set on backwater or offshore, don't call a backwater guide, you know, unless you don't have a choice and you want to go fishing. But just understand what that guide does. Look at, you know, talk to them, ask them questions, and make sure that they're going to get you doing what you want to do, first of all. Second of all, coming to the charter prepared. You know, wear white soled sneakers, clean sneakers, not boots and stuff like that. And try to be clean when you get on the boat. A lot of people don't. It seems like they walk through every mud puddle and get on, you know, yeah. just spread that all over. Yeah. So that's helpful. And bring appropriate clothing, you know, sunglasses, a hat, that kind of stuff. And
definitely don't forget a hat and sunglasses.
Bring your phone, but leave it in your pocket.
And it's surprising. You know, you would think that's a basic. But obviously, especially with a lot of people visiting the area and they get in a hurry in the morning, but, you know, right. set all your stuff out the night before
right.
and
if
be
you
prepared.
You bring, you know, one of them 40-ounce coffees for a four-hour charter, we're probably going to have to go back, you know, 2 hours into that to
empty that.
And
that's going to cut
so
into your fishing
think
time.
Think about that, yeah.
yeah.
And I got people to show up for four-hour charters with enough food for a week.
Yeah.
So you just need a couple drinks and a snack, you know, so.
Yeah,
you know, if you're serious about fishing,
overload the boat.
Right.
Yeah.
But
for
and the
sure.
biggest thing is put that phone down. So many people, when I go from one spot to the other, pick up the phone and start mm-hmm. looking at the phone and whatever they're doing on social media, and they miss the dolphins and the birds and all the opportunities.
Everything that they're paying to see when they go out
right,
with you.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So. And then if the captain is casting for you, if it's a situation where, say, you're fishing up against some mangroves, I know we've definitely covered this before, but inches, literally inches.
Yes. Everybody can cast.
Within close proximity to those mangroves can make the difference between you getting
right. we want
a
you to
bite
catch fish.
And you not. And they want you to catch fish. So if they cast out a bait right up against the mangrove edge, you want to leave it right in that spot.
I cast for 90% of my trips.
Yeah.
I get a few people that are offended. So I'll make the first cast in each spot and say, if you can yep. get the bait there, it's where it needs to be. And if they can't, please let me do it for you. That's what I'm there for.
Yeah.
When I charter the guys in the Keys, I let them do it for me because, you know, I may be at a cast, but I don't see what they see.
Right.
I'm not looking for what
they know
look
exactly
for.
Where those baits need to
right.
be placed.
So
and
that just ups
exactly.
my chances of getting what I want. And another thing is a lot of times when you book a guy, say, I'm coming this time zone, what, you know, next month or this week, what do you suggest, Captain? You know, versus, you know, asking to go catch tarpon in the winter when their chances, odds are pretty much that we're not going to do it.
Yep.
So finding out what's running and what we're catching at the time maybe.
And what they've got the best better. Opportunity to chase rather than trying to pursue.
Dictate where I should be going for you.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's a great suggestion. A couple of quick texts I'm going to mention here. We got a text from Dopey McDoperson. Well, he says, welcome back and happy new year. Hope you had a great holiday. Good to hear you back on air. Can't wait for that first segment of useless information of 2022.
Yeah, but then he followed that up with a gif of some dancing bees.
I wasn't going to mention that, Rick. I was going to just skip right over that. I was going to skip right over it. Yeah, you did. You're smart. You're smart. And Cougar Hunter also says, "Sup, everybody? Happy New Year." He says he hasn't been fishing since he was 15 and is wondering about a good place or a good charter for him to take his son to go fishing. Well, there's plenty, any of the Back Bay guides, if you want to go freshwater fishing, I'm more than happy to take you guys out, Cougar Hunter. So you just let us know. You've got all the resources here available to you on Real Talk Radio.
Look us up.
Look us up, for sure. All right, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
I'm floating in my boat, not the one I used to fish in, but the boat I sit in wishing I still floating on my fishing boat, and I'm out here on this river. Really? It's just a creek.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.